How to build a successful, growing church? Get out of the way and let God build it. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Somebody came to me some years ago and said, you know, I'm trying to do a multicultural kind of a church thing with different races of people. And how did you do that? What are you, you know, do you? I don't have a plan. God's doing it. And I love it when he's doing it. I just get out of the way. Let him have his way. Oh, I love it. You know, there's no burden with that. There's no, you know, trying to impress people. You're not trying to prove anything to people. You're not trying to be seen by people. You're not trying to act like you're more intelligent than you are and all this kind of stuff, or you have more education than you have. No, I'm just me. God's doing it. And when the Lord's building the house, oh, man, I can just step aside. I can just enjoy the ride.
Dwelling place.
Welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Today we once again open our Bibles to the book of Psalms as we cover Psalms 127 through 129. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and he also wrote several of the Psalms, including Psalm 127, where we begin today. It's the best of two worlds, isn't it? Solomon was known as one of the wisest men who ever lived, and he had a heart for praising God as well. Join us by opening your Bible to Psalm 127 as we hand things over to Pastor Al.
Psalm 127, these are three. We're going to get to Psalm 129 tonight. These are all short psalms. Again, psalms of the ascent. Explain that once again if you don't know what that means. It's just that some believe that these were the psalms that the Levitical priests would sing as they stood on the 15 steps leading up out of the outer court, or the court of the women, into the inner court, where the men would come up those 15 steps and offer the offering, or present their offering to the priests, and the priests would then offer their offering unto God, the sacrificial offering unto God, in the inner court area. So the ascent, but in our minds spiritually, it's moving up in our walk with the Lord. It's a step up as they're going up into sort of, so to speak, into the presence of God. And so we continue the Psalms of the Ascent, as they're called, Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134. And so this is what we're now in Psalm 127 here in the Ascent Psalms. And this one is of Solomon, it says, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. Amen to that. Still working on that one. To eat the bread of sorrows, and so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Amen. If your quiver's full, say amen. I heard that amen back there, Dave. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm picking on you, bro. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house. In other words, unless the Spirit of God moves, we may be laboring, but we are laboring in vain. A great lesson for us to learn. And I think it's suffice to say that activity does not always equal productivity in the kingdom of God. You know, you can be really busy doing a lot of stuff and not be producing anything of eternal value. And so it's so important. I mean, what a great lesson. Unless the Lord builds the house. And the house there he's talking about is not just the church. I know we relate it to the church often, but it's our lives, our marriages, hey, your business or whatever. Unless God's in it, you know, we're laboring in vain, because what does it profit a man anyway to gain the whole world and then to lose his or her own soul? In 1 Samuel chapter 4, I want us to turn there tonight because there's a story that I want to relate to this actually verse 1 here in Psalm 127. But 1 Samuel, am I right? Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 3 to 11. Story there concerning the children of Israel and a battle that they were engaged in with their pretty common enemy, the Philistines. And at this particular time, the children of Israel had, pretty much, I don't know, were turned away from the Lord. The reason I say that is they weren't maybe involved in maybe a lot of open wickedness, but the priesthood, for instance, was corrupt because the high priest at the time was Eli, and Eli had two sons who were Hophni and Phinehas, and these two guys were in the priesthood, and they did not, the Bible says, in actually 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, and they did not, Eli's two sons, they did not know the Lord. So there was corruption in the priesthood, there was corruption, throughout Israel. And, of course, they were relying, however, upon God's past faithfulness, which is great, but it's not great if you don't have a relationship with the Lord. And so we look at the story here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 3 to 11. They're in this battle, engaged with the Philistines, and they went out to fight them, and they were defeated. In fact, verse 2, actually, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 2, it says, then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh, the Ark was in Shiloh at that time and not in Jerusalem, to us, and when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. These two pretenders were kind of escorting the Ark of the Covenant in, but the Bible says they did not know the Lord. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Activity, as we will see in a minute, does not equal productivity. The earth was shaking. Well, what a program that is. Well, what a church service that would be. Woo! We were running back and forth, jumping up and down. Oh, man. Wow. Look at, isn't God moving? You're moving, but is God moving? That's the question. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, and the Philistines were afraid, and they said, God has come into the camp, and they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians and all the plagues in the wilderness. Now, they didn't get God, think about God's plural instead of God's singular, but they didn't get it right. But they knew there was something about this God gods that Israelites served because they heard about what had happened to the Egyptians. And then someone among them said, be strong and conduct yourself like men. I love that. Stop acting like a bunch of little weenies, Be strong and conduct yourself like men. Now, these are just guys in the flesh. This isn't Spirit of God moving or whatever. But, you guys just, who cares? Be strong and conduct yourself like a man. Wow. You Philistines, and you do not become servants, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. Oh, I love that. I love it. Macho stuff in the Bible like that, Come on, fight. Oh, man, yeah. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. See, we shook the ground. We were shouting, had a great hallelujah party going on. We brought the Ark of the Covenant in that represents the presence of God and all this, and, brought it all the way up from Shiloh, and woo, shouting and screaming, hallelujah, you know, and waving white hankies and all that. Good old camp meeting Nazarenes, you know. and they were defeated. What went wrong? And every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. It says in another place, because God killed them. No, they were killed in battle. No, God killed them. You know, God's always, he's working in those kind of situations, because he knew they were evil and wicked men, and they were misusing their authority within the house of God and ripping off the house of the temple and everything. So anyway, God got rid of them in that battle. Now, I want you to just see that, you know, indeed, the point is, we go back to Psalm 127, where he says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. They shook the earth, but they did not tremble before the word of God. See, that's the kind of shaking God really takes into account. They shook the earth, but they did not tremble before the word of God. I think it's a warning to us as believers, and I include myself in all this stuff. I'm not saying, you know, I've arrived or anything. God in heaven knows that's not true. But I think it's a warning to us to be careful that we don't get caught up in the spectacular. We don't get caught up in the flash in the pan. And I can say that all night long for the next 45 minutes, whatever we have here. And people still sometimes won't really get it. And we'll still see people, I mean, not you guys, you guys are perfect, but other folks, they still don't get it. They will see that the people in the church running off to new winds of doctrine that are not biblically based and all this kind of stuff, and they're drawn to the crowds and stuff. You know, a crowd doesn't always mean that it's Christ. It doesn't always mean that it's the Lord. And so we have to be careful and make sure that you know, things are lined up with the word.
Definitely some food for thought right there as we bring to a close the first half of today's message from Pastor Al. We'll have part two for you in just a moment. When you support this radio outreach, you fulfill the most important aspect of receiving from the Lord, which is passing on that encouragement to others. The Dwelling Place is sharing the gospel message throughout the land, thanks to you. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org. Or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al once again with the conclusion of today's study.
You know, they shook the earth, but they did not tremble before the word of God. A mistake that Israel made back here and back in 1 Samuel chapter 4 is one which many churches make today and many believers make today. And we have to, you know, this is God corrects us because he loves us. And he tells us, you know what, you need to not be careful to not place your trust in a form of godliness, but rather in God. Because I like forms. I like everything in its place and in its order, but the just shall live by faith. And, you know, we have to be careful that we're not just settling for a form of godliness. Because in doing so, we could be denying the very power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, Paul tells young Timothy, he says, and these are some of the people, in the last days are going to be some ungrateful people, some unthankful people, some ungodly people, you know, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Having a form of godliness. Now, I know, you know, all of us are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Again, as I said, we haven't arrived, but, you know, we are never to become reliant upon a form of godliness. They brought the ark, the form of godliness, into the camp. They thought, oh, we're gonna have victory now because that form of godliness, the ark, is here. But God said to his people, you can't put me in a box. It was just a representation, but without obedience, it's just a form of God. It's religion. And that's all they had. And so that's why the Bible says, you know, if the Lord's not building the thing, if God's not motivating the thing, then they that labor, labor in vain. Now notice Israel, we don't have to turn back there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3, they asked the right question, but they sought the wrong solution. They said, why are we defeated? Why isn't God moving? How come we don't have victory? Then they said, oh, but let us go and get the ark in Shiloh and bring it up. Then we'll have victory. They asked the right question. Why is my life a wreck? But then they relied upon man's ability, their ability, to bring the ark up so that they could be delivered. Let us. And therein lies the problem. They were doing it rather than trusting God to do it. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We have a budget here. Well, we do have budgets. and thank God, I mean, really, financially, our books are above board. We have an audit by an outside group every year. And John does a great job overseeing the finances of the fellowship. Things are above board. I thank God that we have a man of integrity and character in that position overseeing those things. And he's been doing it for almost 12 years. And I don't have to worry about that part of our ministry. And you don't either. But there's accountability and there's character and all of that. But I always tell the guys when they come in, what's the budget for my department this year? I said, we're not budget run, we're spirit led. And what I mean by that is when you walk into my office and you say, Pastor, God wants us to do this, you better be hearing from God, because if you're lying on God, he's going to deal with you. And I don't have to fire you, he will. Amen? So that's pressure if there ever was. So when you look in my eye and tell me God said, you better be hearing from God, because you can't lie on God. So I know that if God is moving and God has laid that upon that pastor's heart or that person's heart, that the Holy Spirit will provide. And so we don't just look at the numbers in the bottom line and go, well, we can't do anything. I guess, you know, God's not depending on our bottom line. In fact, I know of ministries. I'll say a ministry because I know of something, you know, but anyway, I'll just say that have cut staff or shut their doors or cut back by virtue of what the bottom line says, rather than what the Spirit of God is saying. And I think that's dangerous. Because God doesn't look at, you know, my checkbook and say, well, we can't do that. Now, yeah, you should be smart and have stewardship and all this. And, you know, my good friend Billy's here. He related a story to me one time about he sold a Lexus or something and worked at a dealership. And people knew he was a Christian, so they would give him a hard time. And got a letter from some lady who wrote into the dealership saying, you know, in the name of Jesus, I'm claiming my Lexus. And she had it all lined out. It's got this kind of trim and, you know, this speed and all this kind of, in the name of Jesus, I claim it right now. You know, kind of like, give it to me, you know. So the guys were giving him a hard time and gave him the letter and said, you go deal with it. You're one of these crazy Christians, you know. So, I mean, we've got to be smart. We got to have wisdom. And all that, but the reality is that God's not limited by our limitations. That's the point that I'm trying to make. He's not limited by our limitations, but we don't do, you know, he's the Holy Spirit, as I've said, as Pastor Albuquerque used to say, he's the Holy Spirit, not the goofy spirit. He's holy. We don't tempt God and test God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay? But he's still not limited to our limitations. So I just want to just to say, you know, I mean, that's in this ministry, we've always tried to say, Lord, what do you want? Because I never want to tell God what he can't do. Amen. So I've learned over the years that in trusting the Lord that, Lord, unless you are building this house, this ministry called Calvary Worship Center, it won't stand. And you have to be doing something here. Well, we've all gathered here tonight in vain. And Lord, we need you to move by your spirit. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He's recognizing that we are totally, utterly dependent on you. And I love that when the Holy Spirit momentum is going. I like that Holy Ghost momentum, because when God's moving, boy, I just get out of the way. People go, you know, how did you do this? You know, and somebody came to me some years ago and said, you know, I'm trying to do a multicultural kind of a church thing with different races of people. And said, how did you do that? What are you, you know, do you? I don't have a plan. God's doing it. And I love it when he's doing it. I just get out of the way. Let him have his way. Oh, I love it. You know, there's no burden with that. There's no, you know, trying to impress people. You're not trying to prove anything to people. You're not trying to be seen by people. You're not trying to get all your, you know, say, you know, act like you're more intelligent than you are and all this kind of stuff, or you have more education than you have. No, I'm just me. God's doing it. And when the Lord's building the house, oh, man, I can, you know, just, I can just step aside. I can just enjoy the ride. Strap yourself in, amen. I love that. You know, he doesn't give us a roadmap for success, as the world would call or consider success, because he wants us utterly dependent upon him. Jesus said, just one day at a time. You seek him first. The kingdom of God is righteousness. All the other stuff be added. We don't like to live that way. I know I don't. Lord, I want to know, I got this much money over here. I want to know this is going to happen tomorrow. And that's why we have planners and stuff like that, because we want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with those things. I'm just saying, the way God works many times, you know, he doesn't give you a blueprint how he's going to do things. He just says, live by faith. Trust me. And the reason he does that, you know, so that he'll get the glory. Amen. Verses 3-5, that's enough said there, but he says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, sword, the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Amen. And that your children, they shall not be ashamed. Amen. They shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Our children are a heritage from the Lord. And in today's society, a large family is often scorned. And, you know, you've got more than two kids, people think, what's wrong with you? You know, and if you got five or six, man, oh, boy, you know, you're bringing the whole economy down or something. I don't know what people are thinking. They're just, you know, what's wrong with you? Don't you, you know, you got too much time on your hands, you know, or something. I don't. But you know what? The Bible says, happy is the man whose quiver is full. Amen. You know, the recent reports and some of the things I've been hearing concerning mankind's desire, if you will, to rid himself of the inconvenience of unwanted children through abortion. A lot of the reports that are coming out now are starting to show that we're reaping a whirlwind. It's, all that stuff is coming back to bite us, freedom of choice and all these things to abort children and all that, because, you know, I can't use a child in my life right now as an inconvenience, and so we settle for an abortion, and there are all kind of ramifications for that, and I'm not here to condemn someone who's had an abortion and they've asked God for forgiveness. Not saying that to bring that up, but to make a point that, you know, our decisions, what we think is wise, the Bible says the man thinks there's a way that seems right to him, but it leads to destruction.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.